Thank you very much, Ralph. First, I would like to thank very much Heinrich Böll Foundation for inviting me, but at the same time, when I was asked to do this, my 1989, I was a little bit uneasy because it reminded me that I am no more young. I was never invited to speak about something, about myself and history. Always I was speaking about events, shaping them, cooperating with somebody. Whenever I was doing something with Böll Stiftung, it was always related to Eastern Europe, either Ukraine, Orange Revolution, or doing work on Belarus recently with Iris Kempe on Caucasus. So always I am speaking about objects, events out there. So you are now pushing me to think about myself and my 1989. So it is very new situation for me, and I will try to do confession in front of German audience. We'll try to be honest and just illustrate a little bit on my personal story, how year 89, which I fully agree with my friend Adam Michnik, and I belong to that confession that it was year of miracles. My life completely changed. I was scientist for almost 10 years. I was 33 when Velvet Revolution occurred in my country, and I never believed that I will live in other than communist regime. And I never thought that I will do other things than being scientist in biomedical research, which I enjoyed very much. And in a way, I was scientist because people in natural sciences, even during communism, had more liberty of doing things, what they wanted to do. Because when I was looking to microscope and studying microbes, Communist Party was not so nervous about that, like if Györgyi was writing and talking about regime. So before 89, I was not active in public life policy, but I will mention that I tried to be part of this positive deviance which emerged in any of our countries. I was 33, had two children, worked at medical school, and just came back from the United States, where I was doing postdoctoral fellowship a year before all of this happened. And I will use one word, impossible possible, as opening up a little bit my emotional state at period when Velvet Revolution came to my country. When I came in 1987 to the United States, I was 31 when I flew for the first time in my life. I was never on plane before, and my first flight was transatlantic. Landed in US, and at some point my professor was telling me, taking me back, and said that, okay, your English is not so bad, but there are a few words which you need to delete from vocabulary because in American context they are having rather bad resonance. And I said, okay, so I took my pencil and started to and he said, okay, you do not need to do dictionary for that, but there is one word that you are using excessively, and it's word impossible. And I first didn't understand fully, but then, okay, so I started very consciously, sort of whenever it came to my tongue, I didn't use word impossible. And because my life was overloaded with many things which we couldn't do, and that is why somehow my semantics was influenced by that. I came back after 1 year in US believing everything is possible if you are with Americans, especially those days. Today, many things are impossible also there. But came home, and after a few months, I wrote a letter to my professor. Sorry, professor, I am breaking my promise. I started to use word impossible again. I came home and I found so many obstacles, troubles. And then suddenly, Velvet Revolution came. And Velvet Revolution came from heavens. This was not man-made, only because students and star artists did this. usually two groups which are most useless to do revolutions. And moreover, it was velvet, even contradiction in terms velvet revolution. There were many theorists who said that it is bad term. But if you have Václav Havel and similar types doing revolutions, they are doing even revolutions differently. November 1789, International Students' Day, I was with my friends, about 12 of us in the room, and she was professor of sociology, about 12 of us, environmentalists, artists, few scientists, and we were fed up with life. And when we saw what happened already in Germany, in Poland, in other countries, we said that we are cowards. We need to do something, but we didn't know what to do. Then daughter of housewife was listening to Radio Free Europe and came and announced that student in Prague was killed during demonstration. That was breaking point when all of us in the room knew that life will be different. We at that moment were ready to do anything, go and fight, do even if we didn't know what. First, most important thing, what we said, next day we are going to put candles in square. Even if we knew that candle at that time was already symbol of light, freedom, that police will take us because we'll put candles. But we thought that we are so brave that we will put candles in the square. So we went next day to put candles, but then artists already came from Prague and organized in art house on the bank of Danube River first meeting when they said, and we are not going to tolerate this regime anymore because students and youngsters are reminding us that something is deadly wrong. Then we went to theater, to several theaters that night, and actors went on stage and read declaration, we are not going to play anymore until Communist Party will not give up some of the freedoms and so on. And we were leaving with a friend of mine and he said, that's it. It's for the first time when actors are not acting, but living real life. And then, since I was at university, next day students across the whole country organized strikes. And us, faculty, teachers, professors, we were kicked out of our lecterns. Students occupied universities. We were sitting in auditoria and they were telling us what we are going to do. And we started protesting day by day, going with keys, ringing them, and it was unstoppable. Once you have over 50,000, but then we had 100 and more, police couldn't give it. And within 2 weeks, we wanted only two things. One, Article 4 from Constitution deleted that Communist Party is leading force in country. Second, free elections. These were two things what people were protesting for. In 2 weeks, Communist Party was basically starting Kremlin. And last moment, which I want to mention, is 10th of December. This was breaking the walls in my country. At that time, I was in Czechoslovakia, but I lived all of this in Bratislava. And as you know, Danube River is border between Austria West and us at that time. On International Human Rights Day, on 10th of December, people without asking border guards crossed over 100,000 people the borders and wanted to see their homeland from west, from other side of the river, from Austria. For us, we knew that this was re-entry to Europe. And slogan, which at this time we were using, going back to Europe, was most powerful slogan, because going back to Europe was going back to normal life, justice, communication, all what Europe was symbolizing for us. And I think that even today, when we are commemorating 20 years after, and we are going through this conference and many other conferences, ask ourselves questions, is Europe still powerful enough symbol or not? I think that at that time, artists, students, environmentalists, environmental protection people, these were leading basically through ethos There were no strategic planning at that time how to do this. There were no political parties which were telling what to do. This was non-partisan society, which was basically turning around system. And when we saw Václav Havel coming first time to Bratislava, this small guy who is not very impressive, he speaks rather sort of with all kinds of funny accents, even in Czech. When we saw for the first time Alexander Dubček, who is from Bratislava, who for 20 years was humiliated, people couldn't even see him or touch him without risk, suddenly Alexander Dubček coming from old days, many young people never even seen or heard about him. And now Václav Havel, playwright from Prague, and they were basically rocking and shaking the square together with singers, artists, and others. And I think that the more I am now thinking about where are we now, at the crossroad again, not knowing exactly at which period we are and what kind of new projects, new avenues we are going, I think that the key message for me personally is that even at that time we didn't know exactly what and how, but we knew we do not want to use violence. Truth is the guiding principle. Rules, obeying rules, is something what we will not violate. And the movement in Slovakia was called even Public Against Violence. In Czech Republic, Civic Forum. So everything was about civic, about non-violent. It was not about partisan, center-right, center-left. At those days, we didn't know exactly what ideologies, political ideologies are all about. Surely later on, from one party, command economy, we started to develop multi-party system, of course, free market and so on. But we will be talking about these issues a lot during discussion, and tomorrow I do not want to go further. Only want to tell you that I ended up from laboratory at university suddenly at Ministry of Education because students ordered one friend of mine, biochemist, that you will be Minister of Education. There were no elections. Students came and told him that we like you, go, you will be minister. He became minister, he called few of us that, okay, come, physicist became deputy minister, I was head of international department, and my first task was how naive we were. In 6 months, we believed we will do education reform and then go back to university. Sort of after 6 months, at that time we believed that things will be, we believed that we will be in European Union in few years. If somebody told us at that time that it may last 10 years, we thought that something is wrong with them because everything was possible. Everything was full speed, changes and so on. I never went back to university. I remained in public life then. And I'm happy that I had privilege to be part of 1989, and many things not only changed my life, changed Europe, changed and touched lives of all of us. But at this time, I believe that it is up to our children to develop new narrative, how and what to do, because those of us who are veterans, and if we will constantly tell them how and what, I think that in a way, it would be useful if tomorrow and during the discussion we would have more young people who would question several things what we lived through. But at the same time, I will never deny that it was miracle. And if miracle could happen then, why shouldn't miracles happen now? Thanks.